This podcast is by G. Wayne Miller for the Providence Journal.
I grew up primarily with my grandmother. My parents are both young, and my dad had his own struggles with addiction, so it was just best that I stayed with my grandma. But I had a lot of behavioral issues, and I was bounced around a lot. I ended up in group homes when I was 13, and, you know, just running away and just a lot of issues. I mean, the one thing I did have going for me, though, is I was really good in school when I went to school. So I kind of started experimenting drugs when I was around 16, 17 years old. And I just love the feeling. I love the escape from all the anger and sadness and insecurities I had felt, you know, just growing up and wondering why my life was the way it was. And drugs offered me the ability to escape, and it was really fun for a long time. And then it started to like not be fun, and that's when it got really bad. And I found eventually I couldn't pay my bills anymore. I was just doing so many, like, just massive amounts of drugs.
What are some of the drugs that you used? And
An IV cocaine and heroin addict. I mean, there's not a lot of heroin around nowadays, and I wasn't around for fentanyl. That came after, because I have 7.5 years now, so I missed that era, but primarily cocaine, IV cocaine, heroin. And everything that I made for money went towards using, and eventually ended up homeless on the streets of Providence, and that's when I started to go in and out of prison. And in and out of rehabs too, I think that's important that people know that, like, you don't just get this in the first shot, you know. And so for about 6 years, I did the rehab prison kind of the circle. But I would go to prison, beg to get out, the judge would let me out, I'd go to rehab, and I would relapse. And this is just what I did.
You were in and out of hospitals too.
Yeah, I went in some hospitals, psychiatric units. And, you know, I've had tremendous, multiple overdoses, and just going on this spiral of just determination, basically, to eventually die from drugs. Just had no hope. Didn't plan on surviving it. I was just using until I thought I would inevitably die. And then 2011 was a really rough year. For some reason, I managed to stay out of prison for a whole year. And it really beat me down really badly. And I eventually one day just woke up in a house, you know, a drug den, essentially, all intentions of continuing to use, and went outside and was like, I just don't want to do this anymore. It's just so tiring. I couldn't do it. You know, and I had nothing. I had no clothes. You know, I was wanted. I was on probation, I was a violator, I had no food, I had, you know, no resources, no home, nothing. Just this drive to just not want to live this way anymore. I did go back out one more time, like a month later. I ended up having a near-fatal overdose, and I woke up in the hospital, and then I just went home and was like, I can't do this anymore, it's just too much. So I started, accessing resources. At the time, they had the Access to Recovery grant, where I was able to get free recovery housing for 3 months. I was sentenced to rehab, so I had to go to rehab again. But I started going to 12-step fellowship, Anchor Recovery Community Center, which is kind of still in its infancy. So at the time, Jim Gillen was there running it strong, and I remember I walked in and he saw something in me. I don't know what, but he saw something in me and was like, I need you to stay around so you can help others. And there was like this little crew of us that stayed around. George O'Toole, Michelle Harder, more people came along. You know, Jonathan Goyer came along eventually, Abby Steinberg. And we just kind of stuck together as this close-knit community. And then I had my 12-step fellowship people, and I just kept growing in that direction, and eventually found my way here at Rhode Island College, and this has been, a part of my recovery is, because it's improving myself. It improves my self-esteem. My professors believe in me. The faculty here believe in me. They know I can do it. They encourage me. It gives me a sense of purpose. I just love research, and I especially love researching recovery because it's just, I've lost a lot of people, and I want to know what is going on. What's going on that some people can do this and some people can't? What's more effective? What, stigma? Like, all areas of recovery, I love researching. If you ask my professors and they say, what do you want to research? I'm like, just recovery. I don't care what it is, just anything that has to do with it. And so it's just given me this purpose, and plus it's been able to afford me a life where I can sustain, take care of myself and, my daughter now, and then I have another daughter on the way. So I just love it here. I'm blessed. My little girl, I tell my little girls, essentially, I just want my daughters to have better than me, and so I try really hard to be better every day. I started out this journey for myself, but now that I have two little people that depend on me, I just look at them and I just can't give up. I have to hang on, and there's nothing like, I drove my daughter to school today, preschool, and I'm driving and it's quiet. We're listening to the radio. She picks a song that she likes. And just out of nowhere, she says, Mommy, I love you. And it's like, she really believes that I'm like the whole world, that I do nothing wrong. And so I don't want to let her down. I don't want to let either one of them down. And I stay focused. They're a big, huge part of my anchor. Just stay focused,
What would you say to people who might be watching this video who are where you were?
I would say recovery is possible. It's possible. You just got to give yourself a fighting chance. Got to get out of your own way. In the beginning, you got to let a lot of people guide you and trust, do a blind trust. Let your network help you, get some support, because you don't think straight for a little while. Drugs do a lot of damage to your thought processes. But you just got to give yourself a fighting chance. And you just got to hold on. You can't use no matter what. You just got to wait. That drive to want to use, it's not gone from me. When I get highly stressed, every once in a while I think, can I continue this? Because you get filled with self-doubt. We have this self-doubt talk in our heads. And you just got to not listen to that voice. And you got to say, I can do this. And the pain will pass. The stress will pass. It's all just temporary. And just keep pushing through. But it's possible. It's not easy, though. This is not easy. So if you're expecting it to be easy, you're going to be waiting an awfully long time. But it's possible.